unexpected $50 bill from an unexpected person. Who wouldn't love that, right? But here's another one. A family in our church was slated to participate in a Christmas parade in Blythewood last Sunday. They were on the program. So their plan was to come to our party, stay for a little bit, and then get there on time. Well, they stayed a little longer than they planned, and when they arrived at the parade, they had to park over 3 miles away. Now get it, they weren't attendees, they were people in the parade. 3 miles away, it was over 3 miles. They started the trek, and guess what? Unexpectedly, a guy in a golf cart pulled up and said, "Climb in." He got them there. They were there before the thing started. Isn't that awesome? But here's the best one. All those are good. We have a high school teacher here in our church that teaches in the public school. She had a student come up to her last week. And this is what he said. "I want to know more about Jesus." Isn't that the greatest?
Yes.
An unexpected person, an unexpected situation for the glory of God. Isn't that great? I just love these stories. And I'm certain there are more stories than that. But these are just the ones that I heard. I challenge you to recount these unexpected blessings, to document them, to share them with other people. It will build their faith. Amen. And it will build your faith.
Yeah.
So far this month, we've talked about that not only does God give us unexpected blessings, He uses unexpected people, He uses unexpected situations. And today we're going to talk about the fact that He uses unexpected journeys. I had to cut my mic off for that one. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judah territory, there was this was during Herod's kingship. A band of scholars, you would refer them as wise men in other translations, arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They ask around, "Where can we find and pay homage to this newborn King of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled His birth, and we're on a pilgrimage to worship Him." Then word of their inquiry got to Herod. He was terrified. Terrified, a big king. And not Herod alone, most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered up all the high priests and religious scholars in the city together and says, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" They told him, "Bethlehem, Judah territory. The prophet Micah wrote it plainly. It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east. Pretending to be as devout as they were, he got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem. And he said, "Go find this child, leave no stone unturned. And as soon as you find him, send word, I'll join you at once in your worship." Instructed by the king, they set off. Then the star appeared again, the same star that had been seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over them. Over the place of the child, excuse me, they could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshipped him. And then they opened their luggage and presented their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod. So they worked out another route. They left the territory without being seen and returned to their own country. Now, I know what you're thinking. The journey to Bethlehem wasn't unexpected for the wise men. It was planned. But the route home was unexpected. It's that leg of the journey that was unexpected, and it required obedience. As we know from the verses that follow this account, in Matthew, Herod had devised a plan to kill the baby Jesus, because he didn't want anyone to have any king but him. Therefore, he wanted the report from the wise men so he could get to Jesus. What if the wise men hadn't paid attention to go home another way? What if the wise men had reported back to Herod just like he had requested? I want you to see that in that unexpected component of their journey, God's plan was carried out for Jesus when they took another way home, an unexpected journey home. The moral of this story is to always obey God as we journey along in life. Turn where he says turn, go where he says go, stop where he says stop, do what he says do, don't do what he says don't do, trust God all the way, total obedience. That is what this story really means. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he'll make your path straight, smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Now, Susan and I love taking back roads in my convertible. Very seldom do we take the same roads to a destination. We might have been to that destination before, but we will find another way to go. And we usually try to find another way. And many times in that new way, we find things of great interest, maybe historical points of interest, beautiful landscapes and terrain, interesting new places. But occasionally, when we have taken a different route, we will even find that we bypassed a huge traffic issue, a bad wreck, a detour because of road work, a parade, or something else. And we both end up saying to each other, well, we fell into the plan of God for ourselves, didn't we? I can't tell you how many times I've had to take a detour in my life and I've missed some kind of disaster that would have happened if I had taken the planned route. Here's what I've learned. When detours come into my journey, and they will come, whereas I used to grumble and complain and push back against the change, the difficulty and the inconvenience, because of the faithfulness of God that I have seen in my life, I grumble and complain less, I push back less, I obey more, and I've learned to go with God no matter what. Amen. Does it mean that I am perfect in it? No, it doesn't. But it does mean I'm getting better. It's so important for us to follow the complete plan of God as we journey along the life that he's given us. In the Old Testament, there's an interesting account in Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 31. Terah took his son Abram, which later is known as Abraham, his grandson Lot, which is his other son, Haran's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, which is Abram's wife. And they set out with them from Ur, of the Chaldees, to the land of Canaan. That's where God wanted them to go. Go to Canaan. But when they got as far as Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years. He died there. In other words, they were to go on to Canaan, but they stayed in Haran. Now we move over to the next chapter, chapter 12, starting verse 1. God told this to Abraham. Now Abraham had already set up there in Haran. He says, leave your country, your family, your father's home for a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and bless you. I will make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who you curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left just as God said, and Lot left with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot with him, along with all the possessions and the people they had gotten in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan and arrived there safe and sound. What if Abram had stayed in Haran? Not only would he have been a disobedient to God, because God said go to Canaan, he would have missed out on his full inheritance. Listen, I want you to understand the luring to stay in Haran was bound to have been strong. His dad's made a home there, a great home. They all made a home there. It became a place of familiarity. Plus, the reality was it was another 400 miles of rough terrain to get to Canaan. They'd already gone about 600 miles. And you can understand, let's rest a bit and let's not go any further. So it would have been very easy to stay. The new place, Canaan would be a new place, unfamiliar, unknown. Haran was familiar. Haran was fine. But Abram continued on. Abram desired to follow God completely, to be obedient. In fact, this is what I love about his journey. It was his habit to make places of worship along the way. Worshiping God along the way helps us stay the course of obedience. Amen. Maybe you're in a place that you didn't expect. Why don't you worship God there? Maybe you didn't see this coming, and you find yourself in a place that you never planned on being. Why don't you worship there? See, I believe we can take that from Abram's life, and he said, no matter what, I don't even really know what's ahead of us these next 400 miles, but I'm going to worship. Staying in Haran was easy. Canaan took effort and sacrifice. See, God's will likely not be the easiest journey, but it'll be the best journey. One year we took a cross-country car trip to California. I had a conference, a week-long conference I was going to be in, so I said, let's do that. So, you know, I'll never do that again, but let's do that. Let's go across the nation. It's my nature to get where we're going, wherever you're going, in record time. That is my nature. So I was constantly pushing to get one more city before we quit driving for the day. Many times Susan and the boys were so ready to stop, but I kept pushing on. And once we got to California, it was unanimous. Everyone was glad we pushed so hard to get there as quick as we could. We had more time there. But the process wasn't necessarily easy. Pressing through was worth it. Because sometimes the journey God has us on is hard and it's difficult and it's long, but it's so worth it when we get there. Listen, if life with God is easy peasy, we wouldn't need Him, would we? Amen. God wants us dependent upon Him. Yeah. He wants us dependent. John and Denise want JP dependent as he grows up. And the older he gets and the more mature JP gets, the more responsibility he carries. The less dependent for maybe the easy things. But there's still going to be this dependence on his mom and his dad. And God is that way. He never wants to cut us loose. He always wants us dependent upon him. There are things as of unhealthy dependence. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about healthy dependence upon God. Was the additional journey to Canaan from Haran difficult for them? Yes. Can you imagine 400 miles on foot? Rough terrain? Was the end result being in Canaan God's plan for Abraham and Sarah? Yes, it was. Did they see God's provision all along the way? Yes, they did. Was it worth it? Yes, it was. Maybe you're in a difficult season in your journey right now with God. Maybe you're too discouraged to press on. Maybe the enemy has shown you an easier way. Maybe you have a bunch of naysayers in your life. Maybe you're at your wit's end. Build an altar and worship. If you don't know what anything else to do, build an altar and worship. But God, you don't understand what's going on. Oh, yes, He does. But He wants your eyes fixed on Him. He doesn't want our eyes fixed on the problems, the 400 miles of rough terrain ahead. He doesn't want us focused on the problem. He wants us focused on Him, the problem solver. Here's what I found. When I've been obedient, there is a new strength in me. Amen. Nothing really has changed on the outside, maybe, but there's something new in me. When I've been obedient, there's hope for the future in me. Amen. Things just look better. They look more promising. When I've been obedient, there is clarity in my vision. I can see like Johnny Nash. I can see clearly now. I can see it, and I didn't see it earlier. But obedience is the variable. When I've been obedient, there's even great victory in my, I put in my notes, gait, but your stance, your posture. You carry yourself different. When I've been obedient, there's no fear for what's ahead. The enemy loves to scare us. The enemy loves you to ask this question, what if? When God says, don't worry about the what if, build an altar and worship me. And that 400 miles won't feel like 400 miles. That rough terrain won't feel like rough terrain. Why? Because you're not focused on the journey, you're focused on Him. And when you are fully obedient, that's where you're listening. David writes this in Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing that I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. That describes worship. You're frightened? Worship. You're distressed? Worship. You're discouraged? Worship. You're confused? Worship. Listen, he goes on in verse 5, for he will conceal me there in his temple. He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. And then I'll hold my head up high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy and singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Again, that's worship. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. See, the enemy wants to sow doubt into even your worship. You think, how could he even say that in this point? Think about your prayer life sometime. We're praying and we're right in click with Jesus. And then the what if comes in. And then we, all of a sudden, the world starts to slide in. That's what was happening here. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. There are people that are waiting for you to fail. Don't let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet, I love this part. This is a result of worship. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, patiently wait for the Lord. Those things happen in worship. If you're not worshiping, those are going to be hard things to do. But if you've built an altar and you're going to worship, those things are easy. It's like it just begins to happen. See, I don't know what journey you find yourself on today, and I don't have to know, but I do know that you don't have to be alone in the journey. Amen. There's an old hymn that comes to mind. Maybe you know it, In the Garden. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share, that happens in worship, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That is awesome. Buddha can't walk with you. All the other gods can't. None of the other gods can walk with you, but Jesus can. And when we make an altar of worship, what we're doing is said, Jesus, I need everything you have for me. And I don't want to continue this journey without you. I didn't expect to be doing what I'm doing right now. Well, welcome to life, right? But we're not alone. We build an altar and we worship. Worship brings the right perspective. You can get consumed in the world and get your priorities all wrong. You build an altar and things begin to line up. As we are reaching for help, and God loves it when we ask for help. He loves to give good things to His children. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to do a lot better than survive. He wants you to think about this unexpected journey that you're on as something that He is going to take and use for His kingdom, but also for you. You're not stuck. He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I'm His own. Yesterday, our little grandbaby turned 5 years old, and we took a day trip to Asheville to her birthday party, and our son is there, and it's just a great thing. And the last thing I told him when I left, of course I would tell her that I love her, but the last thing I told him, I just hugged him big, and we see him fairly regular, but I said, I just really love you, and I'm really proud of you. That's what God does. God, when He walks with us and He talks with us and He says, listen, you're mine. I love you. And I want to carry you through this unexpected journey. Why? Because I want you to build your hope in me. I want you to build your faith in me, but I want to show people what I can do. That's why these stories that I've been talking about of unexpected blessings coming in, if you share them, other people are going to see that God is good. They're not just going to take it for your point of view or because you said it. They're going to see that you really didn't deserve that, but God is so good. You may feel like you're all alone in your journey, and your journey has taken an unexpected turn. That journey is not hidden from God. He's still with you. He's still walking with you. He's still talking with you. He's still bringing joy. He's still protecting. He's still full of love for you. In fact, if you come to Him in worship, He grabs you and He wants you to make sure you know that He loves you. I did not want to leave that party yesterday afternoon without my son knowing for sure that I loved him. And is it the first time I've ever said it? Absolutely not. But I wanted him to know it afresh. He's going through some unexpected circumstances. And I wanted to tell him I was proud of him. That I love you. And that I'm praying for you. See, one thing a parent can do is certainly show their love and their confidence and all that. But we have to make sure we connect where we get our confidence. And our kids know that. I'm going to talk to God about it. I'm going to ask Him to intervene in this thing. I'm going to ask Him to turn this thing around. I'm going to ask Him to settle down the unexpectedness that's all around you. And listen, all of us are going through unexpected things. But God is still with us, even in that unexpected journey. He's still walking with us. He's still talking. He's walking with us, talking with us. He is continually telling us that we are His and He loves us. Listen, although your journey may be unexpected to you, it's not unexpected to God. God says this in Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end and the result from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things which have not yet been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will do all that pleases me and fulfills my purpose. In other words, nothing takes God by surprise. Amen. He knows the end from the very beginning. Yeah. God knows exactly what He created JP for before he was in the womb. He knows exactly what that young man is going to become. He knows exactly what that young man's going to face. Will JP face unexpected things? Yes, he will. Because on this side of heaven, unexpected is is a standard. We're going to. But will JP handle it all by himself? No. He's got an awesome family. But even more than that, he's got a Heavenly Father that'll walk with him and talk with him and remind him whose he is and that he loves him so much. He walks with us. See, when we trust God fully, then the unexpected is barely even noticed. Because he walks with us. And he's talking with us. And he's telling me that, hey, it's going to be okay because I'm with you. And as we make this altar, we're opening up our hearts. God, we want more of you. When we go to the altar of worship, we are not going as though we have everything we need from God. No, we're going right because we're a needy people. And we need everything he has for us. If God gave you everything you needed immediately, I'm not even sure that we could stand it. But he knows how to bring it out and give it in doses. Can you just hear God saying these words to you today? In the midst of your unexpected journey, God is there. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Pay attention. He's there. In the midst of your unexpected journey, you're not alone. Welcome him. See, it's one thing just to know he's there. But bring him into this thing. God, I need you. Welcome him. In the midst of your unexpected journey, he deserves honor. Worship him. But I don't feel like it. It's not about feelings. But I don't want to. It's really not about will. It is what he deserves. God deserves all the glory, all the honor, everything from us. In the midst of your unexpected journey, God is in charge. Be at peace. He can be in the middle of a storm, and the storm never enters him. The disciples allowed the storm to enter them. And they got upset with Jesus for him not letting the storm in him. He could sleep in the storm. We can have that peace in the midst of the storm. God's promise is this in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear anything, for I'm with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and be assured I will help you, and I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, power, of victory, and of salvation. In other words, even though your journey might be unexpected, there is no reason to be undone. There's no reason to have a bad day. There's no reason to allow everything to be undone. Romans 8:28 of the Amplified Version says, we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Does it mean that everything is always going to end up exactly like you want? No, it doesn't. But our trust is not in the outcome. Our trust is in our Heavenly Father who walks with us and talks with us and reminds us how much we are loved. Don't you just love to be around someone that shows you how much you're loved? Well, you'll do anything in the world for them, won't you? At the drop of the hat, you will do anything in the world for them because you know they love you. Well, God's love letter, in between these ragged old covers, is all about showing us how much he loves us. The baby Jesus, the beginning in the manger, was just an act of love. Herod did some awful stuff trying to find Jesus. Killed a lot of babies. I don't understand. But I'm grateful that Jesus was preserved. This Christmas season, remember these important things. Don't be thrown off when the unexpected comes, because God uses unexpected people. He uses unexpected situations. and he uses unexpected journeys. God is all about the unexpected. Isn't that good? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.